accord with his pleasure and will. He created each planet, each flower, every galaxy, microbe, and hill. He suspended this planet in space to the praise of his glorious grace, to the praise of his glorious grace, to the praise of his glorious grace. Conform to the end he designed. He mysteriously governs and brings his eternal wise plans into time. He works out every step, every trace, to the praise of
a great job singing. Thank you. You have your Bibles, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3 this morning. Ephesians chapter 3. I'm diabetic and I know I need to lose some weight. I lose weight all the time. I lose it Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and then gain it back Friday and Saturday and Sunday. And my size, I can lose 40 pounds, nobody knows it. I can just button my coat, you know, and didn't button. Look here. I can button my coat, see, and I've lost weight, you know. But I'm apologizing for perspiring so much is what I'm doing. What you need to think about, though, see, if I can get my voice to get hoarse, then I'll be like one of them camp meeting preachers that sweats through his suit every time he preaches, you know, and preaching the word. Ephesians 3, I want to begin with verse number 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Turn back in your Bibles to John 17 with me. Gospel of John, chapter 17. Verse 1. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, and that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given unto him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. In this year, 2015, I try to get the church to sort of do a reset, not to make resolutions, but to recognize the importance that we keep our walk close with God, that we grow as a people, that we don't get self-satisfied and don't get apathetic and lethargic about the things of God, about attending church, about studying the Bible, about spending time in prayer. I don't want people to become washouts. I don't want you to become disqualified by God. I want you to not be put on a shelf. I want you to grow in your faith, and I want this church to move forward for God. Amen. We need to know God, and to know Him, we have to know about Him through His Word. And the more we know about Him, the more we should get to know Him, and the more we know of Him, the more we ought to love Him. We recognize what He has done for us. We recognize that we are sinners, but God commended His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And we recognize the sacrifice He made on our behalf. It should make us love Him. If we know Him and we love Him, then we ought to serve Him. Our behavior is a reflection of our belief. So if I can get the church to grow deeper in our knowledge of God and deeper in our love for God, most other things will take care of themselves. The attendance in church, the giving to missions, the support of the work of the ministry, the service in the children's areas and classes and the work of the ministry. Those things are a natural outgrowth and result from a people that are spiritual, people who love God, people who know the Lord. And some folks have a problem with that. And I wonder sometimes if they know the same Lord I know. Do they love the same God I love? If they recognize the sacrifices He's made for them, or are they blind to those things? There are many folks who are faithful and who give and who serve in various places of this church, and yet we still struggle to grow as a congregation. We gain new families now and then, but we're really not averaging more people in the start of this year than we were a couple years ago. Our attendance on any given Sunday can be 40 to 50 different people that are here at the 11 o'clock hour than were last week at the 11 o'clock hour. It's almost like you have two shifts. It's like the cartoon. The fellow said, some people came forward to join the church, and the pastor said, now, do you want to join full-time or do you want to join part-time? We feel that way anyhow. There are barriers to the church growing. There are obstacles to the church growing. Those things can prevent us from having growth. There are barriers of unfruitfulness. God doesn't intend us all to bear the same fruit. In the Gospel of John, He said that we are to bear fruit, and God is glorified when we bear fruit. And He said some bear 30-fold, and some 50-fold, and some 100-fold. Everybody doesn't bear fruit exactly the same, but we all should be producing fruit for God. We have a lot of activity in this church, but it's not resulting in very many people being saved or in the church growing. So we have to ask ourselves, are we making disciples? These young people are going to follow the Lord in baptism today, have been saved, and the workers have talked with their parents, and they're in support of them coming to be baptized today. And this is a step of growth in their life, and we don't want to just leave them there. We want to help them grow in their faith and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Barriers. I don't know, the longer we're saved, it's hard to keep our zeal up. That's why at the first of the year, I often bring some messages to remind us of the need for that. That we don't become apathetic, don't become self-satisfied. Everybody's so busy that it is hard to devote more time to growing spiritually, to reading, to being a part of the church in more activities or more services or more places of service. Hard to fit more things into our lives. And let's face it, we're all a little selfish. We all really want to spend time doing what we want to do. We can be dog dead tired when we get home. We're so tired we can't do anything for God. But if the football game comes on, all of a sudden, we've popped popcorn and we're shouting in the seat and a whole lot of things are going on, you know. And we could apply that to a dozen different things. Some of you guys love to play golf. You wore out, come home, work, you're tired, you sit down to relax. Somebody calls you up and says, let's go play a round of golf. All of a sudden, you got zeal you didn't have before. Take you out for a steak tonight, preacher. Well, I'll find a way to get dressed and we'll go do that, you know. We can come up with strength to do some things when we really want to do them. And so my goal as a pastor is to get you in love with Christ and growing in the Word so that you want to do the things of God. You want to be found faithful in the things of God. There are structures of problems and limitations and obstacles about the church itself. Some folks do not like the structure of the leadership of the church or the people in leadership. I've actually had folks in the past who thought they knew more about being the pastor of the church than I did. And they would tell me so on often occasions, you know, how we weren't doing this and we weren't doing that. And usually the root of that is they want us to be like the church they came from, where they had things done differently and of course the preacher was better and all that sort of thing. I'm delighted to see our bus route and see these young people and see people being saved and baptized. But do you know that everybody doesn't like that? Everybody doesn't like the church to have a bus route. Everybody is not accepting of all races as we ought to be. God intends us to reach everybody with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have a responsibility to make disciples of every nation of people. Every ethnic group. The word nations is ethnos. It's where we get our English word ethnic. We are to make disciples of every ethnic group of people in the world. If we have responsibility to make disciples of every ethnic group, then we've got to reach out to everybody that we possibly can. I am very upset with all the problems that the followers of Islam have caused. But I'd like to see them get saved. I'd like to see them come to know Christ and their lives change. We have sometimes folks who follow other teachers, whether it's radio or TV or books, who teach philosophies that we don't teach here. And when that happens, it can create a divisiveness. I want to say to you, I'm not a new evangelical. I'm not a Presbyterian. I'm not a non-denominationalist. I'm an independent Baptist. Amen. And that's what this church was founded on, the doctrine of. We are premillennial, pre-tribulational, dispensational. We believe in eternal security. Everybody doesn't believe that way, and so everybody will not come to this church because of that. And those are obstacles or barriers. I believe if you really learn the Bible, you'd want to come to this church, and you'd want to be a part of a church that has those kind of teachings. We do have certain doctrine. We have a certain music position, and that doesn't please everybody. I've known that for 35 years. Some folks want us to change that. We have members who do not support the mission program of the church, do not support the attendance of the programs of the church. Some would choose different programs for the kids or something of that nature. And I recognize that folks have different likes and preferences and that sort of thing. But I remind us as a church how important it is that we get on the same page and we're serving the Lord and we want a church to go forward for God and to reach people and to do the work that God has called us to do. Sometimes the preacher himself is an obstacle, or what he gets paid. Way back it used to be some folks like me to make more money and some folks like me to make less money. Now I don't think anybody would like me to make more money. They'd like me to make less money probably. Now I'm paid more than I'm worth. But I'm still not paid more than pastors who pastor this size church in other places. I'm paid all I need. But that is a problem for some folks, especially sometimes folks that are on fixed income and that sort of thing. And that's a battle for them. I know folks work shift work, can't be here in all services. Some folks with their age-related health issues and their eyesight, driving at night, there's problems like that. I'm not fussing at anybody who has a genuine health issue or a problem or a reason that they can't be here. But a lot more people could be here if they just put forth the effort if they wanted to be here. And I think if you grow deeper in your faith and you love the Lord more, it'll result in your actions. So I feel led of God to start something today for a few weeks about knowing God. About knowing Him in a greater way, in a deeper way, that should result in our love for God. And it's my hope and prayer that that will result in the growth of God's people so that it will have a result of the growth in the church. I want you to look at a few verses with me, if you would. Turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 55, verse 6 through 11. Now, don't worry. I'm a clock watcher. I know what time it is. I'm going to look at several verses. I got a great big introduction today, but my point's not that long. Isaiah 55 and verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. God's word gives us the ability to know God. It allows us to grow in our knowledge of God. God's will and ways are not always easy for us to understand. God is infinite and man is finite, and we are trying to comprehend Him. It's almost like my cat on the front porch. That cat's 18 years old. She knows where a dish is. She knows when it's time to eat. She comes and jumps up on the doors with her paw and wakes us up if we're asleep when she's ready to eat. And if we feed her, She's there every time. We open that door, you know, rattle that food dish. If she's sitting out in the sun somewhere, she comes running. She knows where she gets her food. And if I'll take the time to pet her head a little bit, probably the next day or that day she'll bring me a mouse or a mole or part of a squirrel or a rabbit or something, and she'll leave it on the porch for me, you know. But she don't understand me. I hate cats. But I don't believe in being cruel to any animal. I've gotten older, and I don't even want to kill animals anymore. I let the rabbits eat all my green beans last year that I worked so hard to plant. Didn't kill one of them. Squirrels, I just gave up planting corn because the squirrels come and take it all away. And I really don't like to just kill animals anymore. Now, I'm not opposed to hunters. I didn't go hunting at all this year. I have went deer hunting a few times, and I have killed a deer from time to time. I believe in game management. If you don't kill a few of them off, they're going to die from starvation and disease and all that sort of thing. So you got to manage it. But my point is this. That cat don't understand me. And I'm the same way when I look up to my God. I know He feeds me, and I know He cares for me, and I know He loves me and provides for me, but I don't understand everything about God. I can't comprehend Him. We're not on the same level. God is up there and I'm down here, and His ways and His knowledge and His abilities are so far above me, I can't comprehend them all. But every once in a while, He pulls back the veil and lets us understand a little something. If we'll stay in the Word and we stay in prayer and we walk with God, He'll give us those gold nuggets of understanding that rejoice our heart and stir our soul and make us more equipped to serve Him in this world we live in. Look at 1 Kings chapter 8 with me, if you would. I'm trying to set the table for something that we're not going to finish today. 1 Kings 8 and verse 56. Blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto His people Israel, according to all that He promised. There hath not failed one word of all His good promise, which He promised by the hand of Moses, His servant. God's Word tells us about the God we can know. In Isaiah 9:6, the Bible says His name shall be called Wonderful and Counselor, the Prince of Peace, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. And these names reveal to us characteristics about God that we can know. If you're saved today, at times you know God is wonderful. He's answered your prayers. He's blessed you. He's provided for you. He's dug you out of the pit that you were in. God is wonderful. His grace has been sufficient for you. And it will be sufficient for you until He comes to take us home. He's your counselor. If you go to Him in prayer and you lay your needs out before God, we need to be like the woman at the well. And we need to leave our water pot there and go tell others about Jesus and quit carrying our burdens around. Give them to the Lord. He can do more with them than we can. Don't lay awake at night worrying, my friends. God giveth His beloved rest. And God will give you sleep. And listen, don't stay up worrying. God's awake. He can handle things a lot better than you and I can. God has revealed Himself to us so we can know Him. First of all, He's revealed Himself in nature. Psalm 19:1 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day utter speech, and night unto night uttereth knowledge." If you got your Bibles open, look at Romans chapter 1 with me. Nature has revealed God to the world. People know there is a God by the creation that God has made. That's why Satan works so hard to undermine with evolutionary teachings that God didn't create the world. If he can get man to doubt creation, he can get man to doubt salvation. And by the way, if you doubt it, my friend, what basis do you have to believe you're saved if you can't believe God created the world like He says in His Bible? Romans 1:16. I didn't say you understand it all. I said you believe it. Romans 1:16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Look at verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Nature has revealed God. When we look at this creation, we can see the power that it takes to create it and to sustain it and to keep it all together. The scientists call these things we look out in outer space and see planets. And that means wanderers. But they are not wanderers. God created them and set them in motion that they are in. And He sustains them by His power. If they were really what are called planets, if we define them in that way that they are wandering, it'd be like shooting pool balls on a pool table. And they'd just be bouncing all into one another and blowing up and falling off and all that sort of thing. But none of that happens because God is in control. You look up into heavens, my friend, thank God for what He has done. God has revealed Himself to man in conscience. If you're still in Romans, look at chapter 2 and verse 14. Chapter 2, verse 14 of Romans. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness that their thoughts, the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. God has revealed Himself to man in his conscience. We know there's a God. There's something within us that is religious, that we worship something, that we know we worship the Creator. And people that don't have a Bible and don't have any knowledge have laws of right and wrong and ethics and morals and worship and all that sort of thing. Why? Because there is something in the conscience of man to know there is God, to seek Him. Titus 2:11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Man's problem is not that he doesn't know there's a God. Man's problem is he's rejected the God that is. He's rejected the one who rules over him. He's rejected His ways. He's rejected His word. He's rejected that God is. The fool has said in his heart, no God. Psalm 14:1. Why? Is he a fool? Is he mentally incapacitated? Is he not able to understand there is a God? That's not what it means. It goes right on in Psalm and says, because he's corrupt, he's done abominable works. Man is a fool who rejects God because he doesn't want to believe there's a God, because his works are evil. He doesn't want to stand in judgment. He doesn't want to recognize he will have to face God one day and give an account. Psalm 36:1 said there's no fear of God before their eyes. Some have no fear of disobedience to God. They just do what they want to do all the time. People who just do anything they want to do, regardless of the circumstances, are lawless. They just decide to make up their own way. Just decide they're going to live like they want to live rather than to follow what the Word of God teaches. God has also been revealed in history. You cannot look at the Jewish nation and not see the hand of God preserving them. In the book of Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar learned God rules in the affairs of men. You study the history of America and you'll see God all the way. Allowing this nation to be here, to be the thrust of Christianity and missions that it is. And it's our responsibility to preserve that for the next generation and to send the light to the world that they can know Christ and salvation. God has revealed Himself in Scripture. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. 2 Timothy 3:15, Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, "From a child thou hast known the holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation." What Scripture was he talking about? He's talking about the Old Testament at that point in time. Timothy had grown up with the Old Testament Scriptures. The New Testament was not finished and written at that time. But they were those things that could make him wise unto salvation. God revealed Himself in the Bible, the Word of God, in Scripture. In Scripture, God reveals Himself through His names. God has multiple names and titles, compound names. And in those are descriptions of God's attributes and who God is and His character and His morals and His way of revealing Himself to man. We study all those names. We learn a little something from every one of them about who God is. And it ought to make us love Him more and more and more. He's revealed Himself in Scripture by prophecy. Every prophecy of God that has been fulfilled exactly as God prophesied that it would take place. You study the book of Daniel, and the nations that would rule the world are outlined clearly there before they took place. And all the Scriptures that point to the birth of Christ in Bethlehem and all those things fulfilled perfectly, exactly according to what the Scripture has revealed. God has greatly revealed Himself through His own Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. In Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1 and 2, Scripture says, "God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds." Christ reveals God to man. God is a spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. How do we comprehend God who is invisible? Because Christ took on the form of man and took Himself to the cross to die as the representative man for you and for me. He bore our sins on His own body on the tree. He was buried and rose again from the dead and is alive forevermore. And He reveals God to man. The church and believers reveals God to man. 2 Corinthians 3:2, "Ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men." You've heard it often say as witnesses for Christ that you may be the only Bible somebody ever reads. They're looking at your life. They're listening to your words. They're watching what you do. And you are a testimony to God as an ambassador of Christ. You stand in representation of Him to this dark world in which we live. And God is revealing Himself through you. James said, "Draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you." Brethren, 2015, please remind yourself with me. I need to draw close to God. I need to make sure my zeal has not gone out. I need to make sure that I'm obedient to the things of God and not living life according to my own ways instead of according to God's ways. Here's also where a problem comes with false teachers. They've entered in to deceive men, to take them captive. Colossians 2:8 says, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit." Now here in the South, we use that word spoil all the time. We talk about grandkids, they're spoiled, you know. Why? Because mom and daddy won't give them any candy and grandpa will give them all they want. They're spoiled. Well, that word in the Bible means to be taken captive. It's the spoils of war. Beware lest any man take you captive through philosophy and vain deceit. 2:4, Colossians, beguiling you with enticing words. Acts 20, verse 28 through 31, Paul warned those at Ephesus, "Grievous wolves will enter into the flock. Men will arise from among you, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after themselves. Watch and be careful. What is influencing your philosophies of life and your decisions of your walk with God and your knowledge of God? Let us have a desire to know God in a greater way, in a deeper way. And if we do, I believe we'll love Him more and serve Him more. In the book of Exodus, chapter 33, Moses desired to know God greater, to see God. In chapter 33, and verse 13, he said this, "Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people." In chapter 33, verse 18, he said, "I beseech thee, show me thy glory." Paul said a similar thing in Philippians chapter 3, where he said that I might know Christ in the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformable unto His death. He said, "I put behind me everything that's past, and I press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, to know Him." The scripture we read when we started out, to know the height and the depth and the length and the breadth of the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let's know God in a greater and a deeper way, and let's grow in our faith, and let's be obedient to Him. Let's love Him for the sacrifices He's made for us and salvation that He's given us by His grace. Let's stand together, please.